7. Electrifying the world. People used to light their houses with gas and candles until electricity changed the game. Bill Bryson gives an account of the early days of using electricity.
In 1846, rather out of the blue, a man named Frederick Hale Holmes patented an electric arc lamp. Holmes's light was made by generating a strong electric current and forcing it to jump between two carbon rods, a trick that Humphrey Davy had demonstrated but not capitalized upon more than 40 years earlier. In Holmes's hands, the result was a blindingly bright light. The first one was installed at the South Foreland Lighthouse, just outside Dover, and powered up on the 8th of December, 1858. It ran for 13 years, and others were installed elsewhere, but arc lighting was never a huge success because it was complicated and expensive. It required an electromagnetic motor and a steam engine, together weighing 2 tons, and needed constant attention to run smoothly. Arc lights were way too bright for domestic use. What was needed was a practical domestic filament that would burn with a steady light for long periods. The principle of incandescent lighting had been understood and, in fact, conquered for a surprisingly long time. As early as 1840, 7 years before Thomas Edison was even born, Sir William Grove, a lawyer and judge who was also a brilliant amateur scientist with a particular interest in electricity, demonstrated an incandescent lamp which worked for several hours, but nobody wanted a light bulb that cost a lot to make and only worked for a few hours, so Grove didn't pursue its development. Then, in the early 1870s, Hermann Sprengel, a German chemist working in London, invented a device that came to be called the Sprengel mercury pump. This was the crucial invention that actually made household illumination possible. Sprengel's pump could reduce the amount of air in a glass chamber to 1/1,000,000th of its normal volume, which would enable a filament to glow for hundreds of hours. All that was necessary now was to find a suitable material for the filament. The most determined and well-promoted search was undertaken by Thomas Edison, America's premier inventor. By 1877, when he started his quest to make a commercially successful light, Edison was already well on his way to becoming known as the Wizard of Menlo Park. Edison was not a wholly attractive human being. He didn't scruple to cheat or lie, and was prepared to steal patents or bribe journalists for favorable coverage. In the words of one of his contemporaries, he had a vacuum where his conscience ought to be. But he was enterprising and hardworking, and a peerless organizer. Edison dispatched men to the far corners of the world to search for potential filaments, and had teams of men working on up to 250 materials at a time in the hope of finding one that had the necessary characteristics of permanence and resistance. They tried everything, including even hair from the luxuriant red beard of a family friend. Just before Thanksgiving 1879, Edison's workmen developed a piece of carbonized cardboard, twisted thin and carefully folded, that would burn for as much as 13 hours, still not nearly long enough to be practical. When Edison's first practical installation came, it was lastingly significant. Edison wired a whole district of Lower Manhattan around Wall Street to be powered by a plant installed in 2 semi-derelict buildings on Pearl Street. Through the winter, spring, and summer of 1881-82, Edison laid 15 miles of cable and fanatically tested and retested his system. Not all went smoothly. Horses behaved skittishly in the vicinity until it was realized that leaking electricity was making their horseshoes tingle. Back at his workshops, several of his men lost teeth from mercury poisoning from overexposure to Sprengel's mercury pump. But finally, all the problems were resolved, and on the afternoon of the 4th of September 1882, Edison, standing in the office of the financier J.P. Morgan, threw a switch that illuminated 800 electric bulbs in the 85 businesses that had signed up to his scheme. By modern standards, those first lights were pretty feeble. But to people of the time, an electric light was a blazing miracle. A little globe of sunshine, a veritable Aladdin's lamp, as a journalist for the New York Herald breathlessly reported. It is hard to imagine now how bright and clean and eerily steady this new phenomenon was. When the lights of Fulton Street were switched on in September 1882, the awed Herald reporter described for his readers the scene as the customary dim flicker of gas suddenly yielded to a brilliant, steady glare, fixed and unwavering. It was exciting, but clearly it was also going to take some getting used to.